No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
God bless you and you this morning. We thank God. Amen. No weapon formed against you, it ain't going to prosper. You know what? Because why? You are in God. And when you are in God, God is in you. Anything that try to come at you, you best believe they have to go through who? They got to go through God. So you might as well just sit back, chill. Don't even much worry. Amen. Just stay in the will of God. Because one thing about it, let it form, let it be made, let it do what it's going to do on the outside. But you best believe it's not going to prosper on the inside. Amen. God bless you all. We give honor to the Spirit of the Lord, who's the head of our life, and He is good, and His mercy endures forever. And our families and friends internationally all over the world, we just thank God for you, United Kingdom, and everyone. We thank God for you, even our brothers and sisters in Korea. We thank God for you as well. We just give God the glory for all our families and friends, because it is a blessing for you could just come on and commune with us. We just thank God for each and every one of you. I'm telling you, I've been blessed. I'm talking about it's been weeks and weeks. Just our spirit is getting fed, God doing what He's doing, just keep taking you up higher. It's nothing like seeking the Spirit of the living God and actually seeing things move for you, operating. You are starting to experience, amen, things that other folks say, man, the experience with God, it's nothing like it. I'm telling you, if you want a dose of that, or you want to try to get in the piece of that, I want you to come and be a part with us, especially this evening, Eastern Standard Time at 8 p.m. It will bless your soul. I'm telling you, we're not going to get on there and put you to sleep or give you something half-baked. Amen. We point everything out every day, every evening. We just point it out to you. Amen. Because I'm very passionate about the things of God. And I'm telling you, man, it's nothing else. There's no other place I would not want to be, my God, other than in the will of God. This is just a very beautiful thing. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get things moving. I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure that your life is going to be blessed even this morning. Amen. Thank you. And I just want to just send my heart and shout out to all the people that is listening. I want to just say thank you to each and every one of you. Amen. And the reason why I'm saying thank you, because you come on this broadcast or you come and listen to us because you're concerned about your spirit, you're concerned about your soul, and you're concerned about your growth with God. Amen. Why I could say that? The reason why I could say that, because even though we have the ability and the gift to prophesize and see in the individual life, we don't get into all that. Amen. We get into what things going to take you further with God, what things going to take you into the things of God. And a lot of times, people don't want to get into that part, but that's the part that is going to keep you. Amen. They're looking for the prophecy, the prophesy. Let me hear you pray down fire and all that. But if you could do it yourself, why you need us to do it? And that's the thing with God. God wants you to do it. Amen. This is no clique. This is no we trying to expand a group or just expand some type of all that kind of nonsense. Amen. No, you're in your Father's house, and in your Father's house, The Father orchestrate how He wanted His business. Amen. So what? If someone was connecting with you one season, then another season, they had to go on somewhere else and do on the will of the Lord. That's all we need to be concerned about, the will of the Lord and being in the Father's house. My hat goes off to you, especially if you come back on in 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Times. You keep on pushing and keep giving your spirit fed for you to keep going further into the things of the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning as we come before you, and we come before you humbly, God. God, we thank you for what you are doing in Jesus' name in our lives. God, we thank you not only the things that you are doing in our life, but the things that you are doing around our life. And everyone that come in contact in, my God, in our perimeter of the things that you're doing, it catch a hold to them as well. So, God, thank you for creating us such a thing that is called the overflow. We thank you that not only that our life is being fulfilled, that our life is starting to overflow and is starting to bless others that is all the way around, God. God, thank you for allowing us to understand that the things you already added to our life, you say, seek ye first the kingdom kingdom of heaven, that all these things will have be added unto you. God, we thank you that you're already adding healing in our life. You're already adding prosperity in our life. You're already adding deliverance in our life. God, we thank you for the different things that you are already doing. But God, if you don't even do any of that things, because we understand not only through scripture, but also through life, that we are just here, just temporary places. But God, we just thank you for allowing us to have an opportunity to worship you, allowing us to have an opportunity to commune with you. For that is more important than anything else that we could produce or manifest from the spirit or anything. You giving us the opportunity to sit and dwell with you. That is the ultimate blessing that you done gave human mankind, for they can have an opportunity not to go through somebody else, not to go through a particular tribe, not to go through somebody that you feel as though that you're calling, they have to go through this way, but go through the Son and go through you. We have direct access to the kingdom. God, we just thank you for that direct access, because you didn't have to do it, but you did. And for that, we understand the ultimate love, where you've given us direct access. You're considering us, my God, your sons and daughters have that walking with your DNA to have a direct access into your kingdom. God, we thank you. We thank you for even that, God. We thank you, God, for that even though the things that we go through in our minds, in our thoughts, God, that man's or no woman's don't even see, God, that we're still trying to get together, but you see it all. You see it all, God, but yet you still not, my God, use the things that we are still trying to work and strive and daily to put in its proper places. You have not put us to the side, kicked us to the curb. God, I just want to say thank you. And we just want to say thank you for this morning. We know that by us waking up, God, and we woke up with you on our side, and we woke up, my God Almighty, with you in us, and we are in you. We know today is going to be blessed. I don't have to go and try to acknowledge the things or acknowledge the strategy or what the enemy want to do or think he want to do, because there's no sense acknowledging something where my blessing that I woke up with outweighs and greater than whatever the enemy or whatever any conniving individual try to do or try to think of. So this is the day that the Lord has made, and today we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we give you all the glory, and we give you all the praise. Amen. So I just thank God for you. In Jesus' name, we just bless God. Amen. God bless you, evangelist and elect leader.
God bless you, Apostle. God bless you. God bless everyone that's under the sound of my voice. And as Apostle Temple said, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice in it. We shall enter into your gates with praise. We shall decree and declare that the things that was of yesterday will not take place of today. We shall decree and declare that we are victorious. We shall decree and declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every word that comes up against us shall be condemned. We decree and declare that we will walk into the light. We will leave the darkness behind. Why? Because we have God's DNA, and he loves us so much that he maps out things for us. God wants us to be victorious. God wants us to be prosperous. God wants us to succeed in life. God did not create us for us to sit and have self-condemnation over our life. God did not create us for us to just sit in our mess. God created us because he knows exactly what we need. God gives us the ability to talk to him, to walk with him. And we, as Christians, as even non-believers, need to learn that he loves us and he paves the way for us. And on today, we're going to sit and we're going to go into the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11 through 14. And Jeremiah 29:11 and 14 maps out exactly what God wants for you, your family, the non-believers, everybody on this earth under his creation. it maps out exactly what he wants for us, how he wants us, our expected end to be. The question is, I'm going to ask you now before the broadcast, and we'll ask you at the end, what do you choose? Because God gives us free will. He gives us free will. He can sit and map the plan out for you. He can map the master plan out for you. But it's what do you choose? How do you choose to live? How do you choose to walk with God? How do you choose to maximize the gifts and the talents that he has given you? It's strictly up to you. He can put it into play, but it's strictly up to you. So Jeremiah 29:11-14, we'll read the verses first. It's coming out of the King James Version. It's just something pure and holy about that King James Version when you speak about this scripture, when this scripture is being talked about, when these verses, Jeremiah 29:11-14, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Verse 12, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." That hearken is listen. I will listen to you. It says, "And ye shall seek me and find me. Ye shall search for me with all your heart." 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away in captivity. So in Jeremiah 29:11-14, it like I said, it's simply a map set up. God has a plan for every one of us, a plan that shall bring us great hope into our future. It's basically our destiny. He's already mapped out our destiny. But we need to understand, if you read the scripture, if you go back and you read the scripture, this plan was conditional. It had conditions on it. It wasn't set in stone. It had conditions. So in order for you to reap the benefits or to make it to your expected end, you must make a conscious decision if you're going to obey or cooperate with the conditions that God has given here through the prophet Jeremiah, through this prophecy. It's a prophecy that God, Jeremiah. So you have to make a conscious decision if you're, one, going to obey / cooperate. When what we need to understand, when someone prophesies over life-changing events, life-changing blessings, whatever it may be, in the name of the Lord, it may be what God wants for us. It may be him expressing his heart's desire. It may be for him expressing the will that God has for us. But I want you to hear the words that's coming out of my mouth. That doesn't mean that it's positively going to happen. It means that it's not going to happen as it was prophesied. And that's because, again, if we're going to cooperate with God, cooperate with God, or are we going to stray out of his will? So in order for us to make sure that we make it to our destiny, we are going to have to follow, obey, understand the will that God has for us, the plans that he has set forth for us, and they're mapped out by each verse. It's mapping out. So let's go on to 12. It says, "Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go." Hold on. "Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I will listen. So the first condition that was given was when you pray, so you, we, me, you, and I, the first condition, we have to pray. We have to make prayer a way of life for us. We must first, basically, as we're being taught on our night watch, that we need to lay the foundation and build the chemistry with God. We need to build our own relationship with him and be in his presence daily. We must commune with him and that communion must be a way of life. And when we talk about communion, we're not just sitting and just talking to God. We are in a we are so deep in his presence that nothing else matters. You're not going to be moved when the telephone is ringing. You're not going to get up and answer the door when the doorbell is ringing. You're not going to allow anything to separate you from God during the time that you have set aside to sit and commune with him. When you get up in your early morning and you decide that you're going to create, when you decide that this is the time that I put aside, that I'm going to do my decreeing and declaring so I can change my circumstances, when you put it to the side and realize that I have the authority to speak life over situations, that I have the authority to change and to speak to the mountain and it shall move, that I have the authority to walk into the light, the newness, to let my darkness, my ignorance, to go away, because I am communing. God has given me a path. He has opened a door for me to sit and talk to him on a day-to-day basis, talk to him about anything, talk to him about everything. Yes, it has been established through word that God knows everything, but God wants to hear our voice. God wants to build that relationship. God wants to sit and hear what your heart, he wants you to empty your heart, but you have to come to him with a clean heart. You have pure and genuine, and if you're not, he's still going to sit there. He's still going to listen to you. He already knows, but that's the beauty of it. What you didn't say today, you have an opportunity on the next day to sit and tell God. He wants you to renew your mind. Come to him. So when it gets to the point, I will listen. Your mind is clear. Your heart is pure. And now you're in a situation where you can receive what God is saying back to you. He's listening. So when he comes back and gives you the plan, you and him can go through that plan step by step. So there will be no error. There will be no error. When you're talking to him, he's there. He's listening. His heart, his mind, because he has great things for us. He's not a mediocre God. God is a God of the impossible. So therefore, we can go to him with the impossible. We can go to him through prayer, asking for miracles. But the question is, are you going to choose to reap this benefit that God has given you so your destiny will be of greatness, so your destiny will take you out of poverty, so your destiny will change you, your destiny, if you want to be a business owner, talk to God about it. About it. He's here. He's giving you. The word says, call upon me. Call upon me. When you're asking, when you're knocking, when you're seeking, and you pray. You pray the things that you want from me. I will listen. Monica, will you finish expounding?
Yes, ma'am. Hello, everyone. Good morning. When we read over 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, and when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Let's stop right there, because that says a lot. This is another condition of this promise that God gave us. And when I say us, I mean you and I, and we have to apply this to our life, because, see, God doesn't give us anything for no reason. He gave it to us for a purpose. And he is preparing your mind so that you'll understand that he's going to send you through stages. But if you complete the stage, what you do will result in what he does. So it says that ye shall seek me and find me. But, see, this isn't a regular search. I mean, this isn't just the average day seeking. This is a seeking where you're going to find God, and he says that. But he says on the condition of when. Recognize the word when. When ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now, people, that takes us to a whole different mindset. We're not talking about you're just casually looking around every now and then. Oh, I'm going to see God in this. I'm going to see God in that. And you pick and choose what you seek God in. That's okay. He said, yeah, you will find me. But he says, when you search for me with all your heart. Now, listen, when I search for something with all my heart, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to lightly just glance over here, glance over there every other day, maybe every now and then. I'm going to consistently, with all my heart, because I'm driven, I desire this thing. I'm going to search for it with all my heart, and my mind is going to be focused on it, and there's nothing that's going to stop me from finding it. And so the scripture says, "I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." Okay, stop right there. I will turn away your captivity. Do you understand what that's saying? That is saying that promise that wherever you went, whatever you strayed away into, God is going to turn that away. That's a promise that whatever your circumstance is on today, because, see, the people in Jeremiah's presence, they were struggling. They were lost. They were carried away captive, and it was something that they had no clue on how to come out of. They had no organization. They had no plan. But God had a plan. And the plan was that he was going to carry them away. He was going to allow them to be carried away captive, but he was going to return them from that captivity. And the plan was that you had to be in tune with me, listen to what I'm telling you in advance, because you may not even be in your captivity right now. But God said, "I will turn away your captivity." So that means that it is not anything that you can do about the situation that you might be in. And for some of us, we might not even have come to that point in our life. We may not even be in that captivity yet. But God already said that it will happen. But what he said will happen, he also said there was an answer. He was the answer, that he would turn this situation around for you. If you're in that captivity right now, whatever your captivity may be, it may be something from an addiction, from poverty, from an illness, whatever it is, God said, "I will turn that away from you." And what happens is he goes on and he says, "And I will gather you from all the nations whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again into a place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Okay, ponder that. Not only did God warn his people, he's telling us that, yes, I caused you to be carried away captive to different places that you've never been before, to other nations. So that means that he's going to allow you to be chastised. It may be something that you did in your life. It might have been a sin or a lifestyle that you actually was living, and he allowed the consequences of that to come into your life to chastise you. And what do we mean by chastise? A parent chastises his children or child when he knows that that child has done something that needs to be corrected. And in that correction, he allows things to happen. It could be a chastisement of punishment or a chastisement of him continually talking to that child and giving that child a new mindset. But that child is being redirected. But something has to happen. Sometimes there is going to be a consequence that child has to actually go through and experience so that that child understands that I can't live like this. I can't do this anymore. My father's not pleased with me in this. And so when your father does chastise you, he did it, and he does it out of love. Not because he's a mean God, not because he didn't love you, but because he wants you to see the error in your ways, and he allows things to happen because guess what? Experience is a teacher. If you live through something and you experience something, by God, I know you're going to remember what happened in that thing that you may never go that way again. And that's what God allowed. He allowed these people to be carried away captive. And the things that happened to them was an experience so that they would remember, that they would have in their hearts and mind what happened, how I went this way, how did I get here, what happened. Some things were of our own fault, but some things are not of our own fault. And it's just a circumstance that we are in. But God promised us that when he allowed it to happen, that if he brought you to it, he will take you through it. So as we go back to the scripture, we realize that people were carried away captive, man, and God allowed it, but that wasn't because he didn't love us. He had a plan. The process spoke in 12 and in 13 of how he was going to call upon us, and then we was going to go and pray unto him. And then when we did pray unto him, he would listen to us, then recognize the next step. The promise said, well, if you seek me, you'll find me. And then he also said, well, if you search for me, then with all your heart, I will be found of you. See, he also prepared you for what else was going to come. He said, I will turn away your captivity. That's a promise that whatever situation you're in on today or will be in, it's not a hopeless situation. It's not your expected end. Because he said expected end, that means that you're not even at the end of your story. You may be in the beginning of it. You may be just beginning to walk into that situation, but guess what? You're not abandoned there. God doesn't abandon us. He will never leave or forsake us. He had a plan before you even got in that situation. He knew you were going to be in that situation, but he said, my children will not lack. My children will not suffer for lack of knowledge, because he's preparing these people. He spoke to us. He told the prophet what to tell us. He told them that he had a plan, that this is going to happen. And he does that because he prepares his people so that they will have a knowing, that they will understand that he promised them that if you do this, if you stick with me, if you listen to me, if you abide in me, and if you walk with me, I will never leave or forsake you. And the things that he's done, he's going to continue to do because he promised it, but it's on a condition. And people don't understand. Well, they say, well, God got my back. Yeah, he got your back, but you got to remember, you got to have certain qualities for him to do that. You can't be living in foolishness. You can't carry yourself any kind of way and think that the consequences of your sin is not going to come upon you. And then at times you'll find your way, but at the end of the day, it's not your way. It's the way God said to find your way. And he points you into the direction of hearkening to him, of listening to him, of abiding in him. And you are supposed to call upon him and pray. And we're talking about a regular pray habit. We're not talking about calling on God whenever something goes wrong, like you're calling 911 for the police or the ambulance or the fire department. We're talking about you calling on God every day, all day, not just when you're in trouble, not when something's going wrong. You're building that relationship. You're laying that foundation. And then when he starts answering you and he's heard that cry, he starts answering you. He's allowing you to know that I'm here, found of you. And then he starts working on that situation. Things that you can't undo, he can undo. Nothing's impossible for God. So as we go on and we read into the scripture and we understand what God's mindset was, he lets us know, I have no secret in my agenda on what I want for you. I want good, not evil. He doesn't even give us the opportunity to think that promise, that expected end, that future hope was even up for discussion on it being evil. He said it was for a good and expected end. So that means that I have a future hope no matter what situation I am in. And I ask you guys to recognize that you have a future hope. None of us are cast away. None of us have been abandoned. None of us are being left out for adoption. We can run away from home, But at the end of the day, God has never put us out. He's never cast us out of his heart. He's never left us or forsaken us. We strayed away, but he gave us an idea of how we can get back. It's up to you to decide. It's that conscious decision you have to make to come back. He's given you the process. And remember the order of the process. Read Jeremiah 29 and 11 through 14. Recognize that everything that he says that will happen is happening in a certain order. None of these things are going to happen and not the way he said it would. Now, if you want to do it your own way, come out with his same recipe for a happy ending, I advise you to reconsider because you're leaning on your own understanding. See, God knew this was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen before we were even formed in our mother's womb. But he also made a plan. In the same way he made that plan to redeem our souls when man fell, when Adam fell out of into sin, and he had a plan to give us his son. That plan was in place before we were even born as well. And so you can see that our Father is a planning God. He makes no mistakes. He's already thought about it before you were brought about. And that makes me confident, and that just warms my heart. That just encourages me. That makes me happy. That gives me a hope because I know that anything is possible with my God. So when we look to God, we got to understand that he's a God of order, that he is a God of his word. And when he makes a promise that people just generally casually think, well, I'm just going to call on him and I'm going to do these steps of what he said in Jeremiah 29:11, and he's going to come rescue me. No, 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 because he's specific. He's very specific. He doesn't want you to come halfway. He doesn't want you to come half-hearted because he said it. When you shall search for me with all your heart, people, I'm telling you today, when you search for God with all your heart, there's nothing that anybody can do that can stop you from getting into his presence. There's no phone call that can take you away. There's no relationship that can break you off. There's nothing that can take your distraction away or take you out of focus. There's no job or career that would be more important. Everything that God has for us is going to be right there at our feet. The conditions are that you have to actually have that relationship. You have to have that time and energy. Your heart has to be pure and focused. So I just want you guys to think about that and do your studying, go over this, and figure out what that captivity is for you, because everyone has some sort of thing or situation that they're actually dealing with, that they're struggling with. But you have a hope of knowing because God promised. God told me so. And when you talk to God, say, God, you told me in Jeremiah 29:11 that if I search for you with all my heart, I will find you. Where are you? Where are you, God? And wait. Give God an opportunity to respond. Look for God in everywhere you go. Look for God at work. Look for God at home. Look for God in the relationships you have with your children, with your spouse, with your friends. Look for God in any situation that comes your way, not just in the captivity of something great in your life, but even in a small thing. Search for God with all your life. He didn't give you this advice just to be giving you advice. He gave you a prescription for life. And sister, I just thank you for allowing me to speak on this. But can you add anything else about 13 and 14 about searching for all, with all your heart and knowing that the captivity is not the end of your story?
Actually, you absolutely put it in a nutshell. I could just sit and say that searching is you searching the world all over. You looking at every nook and cranny. You know. Back in the day, people used to sit and pick at people that were on crack because wherever they went, they are looking the trash can, they'll look whatever. God wants us to any means necessary. God wants us to our entire heart to be him, he wants us, when we come to him, he wants to know that our entire heart, not a fourth, not a half. He wants all of our heart. He wants us to come to him wholeheartedly. And one other thing is we need to know to cooperate with God. In order for us to cooperate with God, we have to pray on it every single day. We need to allow that prayer to develop our potential. Every
yes.
day we ought to learn something new. Every day we should be seeking and waiting for God to give us an answer but to the prayers, because he's listening. Every single day, whatever that captivity that is holding you bound, it should be released. Whether it's mind, whether you are your mind is in captivity, whether you're spiritually drained, you're spiritually hurt, whether it's a physical condition, God will set us free. We just need to apply God into our life. We need to
yes.
pray. We need to do it wholeheartedly. We need to seek, knowing that God is listening. He said that he will listen, knowing that he does not want disaster for our life. And there's no, it's plain and clear. But it's your choice. God is not going to make us do nothing that we do not want to do. You have to be a willing participant in order for God to take you into your expected end. Apostle, we turn the segment over to you.
Amen. Well done. Well done, ladies. You know, the bottom line, thanks to God, you got to have a lifestyle. And I'm glad that as Sister Margaret was just really putting it, she's really explaining it in the context and not misleading no one that, you know, this is just going to happen as soon as you open your mouth. It doesn't work like that. And it's all about building a relationship and living the lifestyle. Lifestyle, understand that. And that's one of the phases in when we're dealing with the kingdom of God. It's a lifestyle. It's just not something that I just decided to do it this morning. Or no, you got to prove yourself a lifestyle. So remember that, you know, and these are the steps that we've really been going into and engaging for the last couple of weeks. You're building up your relationship. God has a plan for you. He has a vision for your life. He knows the vision, amen. But at the end of the day, it's no sense of God wasting his time about the plan for you or the vision he has in your life if you don't want to have that lifestyle. You know, it's much more than I just you dreaming of the lifestyle. No, you have to have the lifestyle of prayer. Have the lifestyle of being faithful. Have that lifestyle. Then you're going to begin to see these things manifest for you in your life. Amen. Amen. Nothing else to be said. It's very good. It was very enjoyable this morning. Thanks to God, we're going to keep continue to get into the lifestyle, get into the intimacy portions of God, for we can begin to experience these things that the scriptures talks about, and we can be able to have all these things and see it manifest not on somebody else's time, but manifest from our mouth, from our prayer, from our relationship, and our experience with God is really going to bless your soul. Amen. So this evening at 8 p.m., let's go ahead and continue, because we got some 5 points. We just was able to deal with the one of them yesterday. So we're going to continue to dig into the things of God. Amen. God bless you. Read Jeremiah. Please read that verse. It talks about that relationship. It talks about a lot of things up in there. So please go back and read that in your study times. God bless you all. Good night. Good morning here in Eastern Standard Time. God bless all of you.